Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Of course, joining me is Pat and John. Here we are. What a wonderful, faithful journey that we're taking this week. This is full of faith, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely love
it. Did you see that picture on the torch of all them cookies surrounding my fiber cookie thing?
Yes. What were you doing with that? I mean, I thought you were doing good, do right. What's the deal?
I don't know what happened, but, I got to talking about what I did yesterday. And and something just said, you know what? If I ate all that junk, nothing happened. As soon as I got off the program, I looked at Donna about lunchtime. I said, we're going to get us a burger. And I bet you anything right now, if I got on that scale, I'd be 10 pounds less.
Great
man of faith. But I'm just not going to check it, verify it.
Not going to verify.
I'm just
going to
It was so good, man. It was one of those. They make those. Ollie's makes those big juicy burgers and the. Oh, it was so much better than that fiber cookie thing.
Oh. Sorry, but, guns. Sorry.
Oh, guns. What's it? Yeah. Anyway, so the my goodness, I don't know if what's happening in the context of America, but I do know some things that are happening, but not everything, obviously. But, I mean, have you ever seen a day that the statement is that a sense of legitimacy that kind of like the cure-all, doesn't like hey, the sky's falling, or a tidal wave's coming this way, or we're going to have to take your home, or we're going to have to fire you, or we're going to have to transition you from here to anywhere else but here.
Right.
That's a nice way of firing. It'll say fire anymore. We just go, we're going to transition you into your destiny.
Permanently. Out of this building.
Right. We're going to transition out of this building, and you excuse the two guys on the side of you that are helping you carry your cardboard box out of this tower. Mm-hmm. But we're for you. We're for you. The statement that at the very end of all these crazy things, they go, it's just business.
It's just business.
It's just business. Mm. Mm. And you can see the world doing that. I mean, you can see the world doing it. You see somebody that gives 40 years of their life to your company, 40 years of your life, so you could go out on your boat, and you could go out and do all these different things with your family, and put your little insulated windows in your little house, and all these different things, and whatever you're doing. And all of a sudden, you go, this is just business. Mm-hmm. And you're going to lay that man off after 40 years. You're not going to, hey, maybe I could sell some of these insulated windows. Maybe I could sell the boat. Maybe I could do something. Maybe I could pray and ask God to bless our business. Maybe we can say, let's get through this season together and not just look at somebody after they put 40 years in your company and you're saying, hey, it's just, but that's not by the way, it's not biblical.
No.
it's not the Father's business. And the Father's business is, as he says in Ephesians chapter 6, he cares about both of yous. He cares about the employer and the employee. Mm-hmm. And if treating people like that, who treated you so well for so long, will only cause them to do things like unionize and do different things of that nature. And how in the world can you come against or criticize someone who unionizes and you now look at them and say, what's your problem? And they look at you and go, it's just business.
Oh.
It's just business. You know what I'm saying? Don't take it personal.
Don't take it personal.
We've learned not to take you telling us it's personal. So don't take it personal. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to be treated, you reap what you sow. I mean, if that's how we disrespect workers and disrespect these poor folks, man, they spend all their physical effort years that they have, strength in their backs, the ability to create with their minds, and they sow all that in to your business, and you don't feel a sense of loyalty to those employees, and not only loyalty to them, but a loyalty to their families.
Their families, absolutely, because they're paying the price, too. They're sacrificing.
Right. Right, and the family, and that you're just the last thing you're going to say to her is it's just business, and you're going to go about your day without. Look, that's not how God is.
Mm-mm.
That's not how God. God doesn't see things that way. We serve a God that says, "Listen, when you harvest your field, throw some around the edges so that those that don't have can get." I mean, he's always making sure. He says, "Those that lend to the poor lend to God." Ever how you treat your employees, you know, you're treating God that way, and ever how you treat your boss, you know, that's how you're really treating. How you treat people is how you're treating God. And all of a sudden, there's not this whole different atmosphere. It's not a different God of the workplace, you know, which probably with the wrong mindset, the God that mindset would be of is the God of Baal, the work of your hands. And that's not the God that we serve, Jehovah God.
Right.
And right now, you know, I was just listening to Pat Robinson, CBN News, and just felt it's sad, but it feels refreshing to hear truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That, you know, Bernanke, you know, with the Federal Reserve, he is been helping out in the economy based on their understanding of helping by, you know, putting billions of dollars in the economy every month, I believe. It could be every week, but at least every month.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's borrowed money.
Right.
That's borrowed money.
It ain't real.
What we do is, I believe it's like this. We print money. We go down to the second basement floor of the White House. No. We go down to a building Washington, D.C., and we pull out our best copy paper that has fibers and stuff in
it.
None of that cheap stuff.
All right.
And we just look at the template. There's a $1 template, a $5 template, a $20 template, a $50 template, a $100 template, $1,000. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're just going to like print 50s today. We're going to print $100. We're going to put $1,000 bills. Whatever. And we just put it in there and just go, you know, kabloom, kabloom, or whatever it is today. Probably doesn't go kabloom, probably. And we cut it all up. And then I believe we give it to the Federal Reserve. And then they loan it back to us.
Crazy.
And then we borrow money from other nations to back it up. And it's like, what demon came up with this? You know, right. It's just like,
wow.
Because he says you're a slave to the lender. You know, the word of God says you're a slave to the lender. It's like, how in the world are we being taken into slavery based off of this? And so what was said was that the stock market follows the money.
Mm-hmm.
So if the government's just creating all this money and dumping it in the marketplace, the stock market's going to fall. Hey, there's money. Woo-hoo! Mm-hmm. There's money. It's like, yeah, but you're swimming in someone else's water. It's not your water. At some point, you're going to have to find your own water to fill this pool.
Right.
And you're going to have to pay for the water you've been swimming in. You know what I'm saying? It's not yours. And so one day, because what happens is they pour all this water into the pool. Everybody swims in it like it's their own. They talk about it like it's their own. They have media reporting like it's their own. And people just act like, yeah, and people are getting hired by this pool money and stuff. And then all of a sudden, the Federal Reserve is going to stop filling the pool with water.
Mm.
And it's not like water is going to appear. You know, you're going to be rough swimming on the bottom of a concrete pool without any water in it. I mean, the reality is, like, nobody's going to be swimming. Much people will be working.
Mm-hmm.
Companies going to be crap. Things are going to be just shaking when they pull out. And the thing is that I believe they're trying to ease out. But to know that, to understand that this is a very unstable environment. And what Pat Robinson said, which is a pretty smart man when it comes to, you know, stocks and finance and all that, and is it ain't real. And there's so many things that aren't real right now that people are presenting as real. I mean, you almost look at me in my face. And I know this ain't real, but look at me and tell me it's not real.
Right.
Because it's like
everybody's
saying it's real, and not every, you know, media and those that are walking in darkness and greed and that type of thing.
Right.
You know, hey, I don't know how long this is going to last, but let's just get ours while we can.
Yep.
Type stuff. And you find somebody that speaks truth. Can you look, please? I know I agree with you, but I just need you to look me in my face and tell me this ain't real.
Right.
Which it doesn't mean it's over or nothing, but that's artificial. That's just artificial. And you know, one of the patterns in the past in the kingdom is the counterfeit comes before the real deal. We can only hope that God would have mercy on our nation and a third great awakening would come, because as soon as this Bernanke investments, you know, stop, that's going to humble us.
Hmm.
It's going to really,
oh yeah,
it's going to really humble us. You know, there was a man at a neighborhood watch meeting, and the neighborhood was meeting, and they were all kind of just doing their neighborhood watch things. You know, what's going on? Yeah, so and so shrubs need cutting. You know, or there's somebody checking, you know, wandering through our neighborhood. Or all of a sudden, this one neighbor is talking about the economy, and the other neighbor looks at that person who's talking about it and says, because they're on a retirement, they're on a government retirement because mm-hmm. they've already worked already.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're getting a retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, of course, they were talking about crime, you know, things that are being stolen and things that are being taken because it was a neighborhood crime watch type meeting mm-hmm. or whatever. So it kind of fit in at this point when they were talking about the fact of the government may stop, you know, sending checks out like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this person who had worked for the government but retired looked at all of his neighbors and said, well, I might rob you then. To his neighbors. To his neighbors.
Wow.
To his neighbors. And it's like, what will people do? You know, this is one thing. If you hadn't watched this particular scenario done by the History Channel called Armageddon, and it's talking about what society would be like if the electricity stopped, basically, and stuff stopped happening. And they kind of study human nature and what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one statement that was said in the midst of it, I thought was pretty powerful amongst everything that was there, was, you know, wealthy people are kind or nice until they're not wealthy anymore.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? As long as you got your stuff and your things and your data plan, your distracted data plan and your distracted, you know, media plan.
That's right.
And all these things that just kind of busy you, make you feel like you're doing something,
mm-hmm.
give you something to talk about, the water fountain at work.
Mm.
That he said once wealthy people are kind, they're nice, until they're not wealthy anymore. And that's America. America, you know, we don't even, this generation doesn't know. Past generations do. I mean, they lived through the Depression and they went through these things. But this generation, and we have people marching down the street protesting against, you know, the government or something, who are receiving, have degrees from Harvard,
yeah,
who are receiving money from an inheritance, who are just trying to determine what they're going to do in their future. But they're making, you know, $5,000-$6,000 a month just while they're thinking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Versus the common person, it's like, I'm losing $5,000 or $6,000. I'm like, right. I got to get busy now. I got to work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness, what? And the things that the Lord has shown us, and if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch and clicked on prophecies, you know, just read through those. You know, take your time, kind of skim through them and the ones that stand out to you. I don't want it to happen. I mean, I don't even want to say it. I mean, for a long time, I didn't say it. And I felt like, because I didn't say it, it almost turned in on me, because God's not asking me, do I want to say it? I just need to say what he told me,
mm-hmm.
and what he's shown me.
Mm.
And minimum force necessary. Minimum force necessary. So, you know, if in fact, you know, God says, hey, come this way, and you go, oh, cool. Oh, I just love following God. That's it. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's nothing else. That was great. That's all he wanted. And he wanted you to want to come. But if he says, you know, come this way, and you go, why? Right? Well, then there's a new tier of motivation about to come your way. The tear is going to come out of your left eye. Something's going to happen. You know, consider hardship as discipline. God's mm-hmm. treating you as a son. And something's going to happen. Something's going to come your way. And really, I don't realize it's the same God that would have just celebrated you saying yes and willingly going in the first place. So mm-hmm. don't get all caught up in the fact that, you know, what you went through caused you to have a tear or something. And by the way, And if that level didn't do it, then there'll be another level. Mm-hmm. And somebody says, when will all of this stop? And it's like the day you follow God, you know, the day you as a believer, one who professes to be a Christian, says and responds to the word of God when he says, if my people, you think about it. Well, let's back up one verse. When I send locusts, when I send storms, when I dry up with the rain where there's famine, when I, it's like God. And then he goes, but if you humble yourself, which is say, you know, get your alignment right with God and your perspective of me as God, and just realize I love you, I got a plan for your life, I'll take care of you, and what I'm saying is better for you than whatever you're thinking. And pray. Start talking to me again.
Mm-hmm.
Not religiously, but just start talking to me again. Mm. Knock that stuff off. Turn from your wicked ways. All that stuff that, you know, that's wicked. And there's one thing. I think there's more wicked stuff today than there's ever been.
Mm.
I mean, there just has to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's just so much wicked stuff. There's so much wicked stuff that the medium wicked stuff, you got to catch yourself and go, oh, that's wicked too.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
The other stuff's so wicked, you're thinking like, well, hey, this couldn't. So, oh, man, that's all. Oh, Lord, help, John. And he said, turn from your wicked ways. Then he'll hear from heaven. Then he goes, oh, well, cool. You want to follow me now?
Mm-hmm.
It's the original intent. It's the original intent. It just took that kind of things to motivate us.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay with it. He don't mind you limping. He don't mind you little issues in your life and, you know, little scars and little tears and stuff. Because, you know, you're happy now.
Mm-hmm.
You can celebrate. Those are going to be your badges in heaven.
Wear your scars as medals.
Wear them as medals. But don't brag about them because you'll get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Was it? These right here were my first medals. But when I bragged about these medals, I got these medals over here. All
right.
Go get my crutches. But then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Listen, our land is a mess. We talked about, you know, America on its sickbed. But to understand this, it's just minimum force necessary. And it's not right. If you're a business person, a businessman or a businesswoman, or you're part of a union or an employee and, you know, whatever. Now, obviously, you're in some spectrum of that. Or maybe you're just the person that all your generation, the previous generation, has really never worked. You just, you know, you worked at not working. Probably work harder at not working than you did at working.
Man.
By the way, which is worse than an unbeliever, if you're a believer, he says that you should work. Work. I mean, everybody can work. I remember Donna's company that... she works for, has thousands of employees across the world, I believe, at least in America. And there was one particular guy, this video, I don't know if you saw that video, this guy that it's an operator type business, call center type thing. And this guy, because you need a keyboard, you need a headset.
Right.
Yeah.
And for real talk on the phone, he had no arms.
No arms.
Mm-mm. And maybe one leg, I don't know.
Two legs.
Yeah. And all of his feet and toes and stuff. And so he has no arms.
Wow.
And he is a call taker. He's taking calls for this. And this particular company handles a lot of different companies.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just happily, in his office is nothing but the floor in a room in his house with his keyboard laying on the carpet. And he's sitting on it. He's got the headset on with a big smile on his face. And he's typing with his toes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
About how Pat types. He's typing with his toes. Yeah, right. What's that noise? I'm typing. And he's happy as he can be.
Mm.
How many people was like, come on.
Wow.
You know, come on. This dude is inspiring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is inspiring. He feels so bad for ever complaining about anything because he is just, he's getting a paycheck. He's an example for the entire industry.
Right.
You know, And so the business owners, you say, well, we don't have any business owners. Well, if you're on the board of directors, that's pretty much you. And then the employees and et cetera, And then those that are receiving finances from whatever and vice versa. All these things that have in common is these are people. Everybody's people. Creating the image and the likeness of God. And ever how, this is what God said, this is what Paul was writing under the unction of the Holy Spirit to the church of Ephesus. He says, be careful how you handle this relationship because both of them, both of you is answerable to God for how this thing happens. And saying things like, this is just business. If you don't do that right, because this is what he says, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I needed clothes, you didn't feed me, etc. So when God, you're standing before the throne of God, and he's dividing the sheep and the goat, so the people who actually had fruit towards people and the people who just said it's just business, don't get upset. Don't get upset when he puts you on the goat side. And he says you need to go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you look at him, he'll just say, this is just the Father's business.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can you make references to God or other biblical characters without fear of reprimand? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
In the workplace, are we allowed to mention our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth's name at any time, especially when they come at us with negative replies? They want are you having fun with on a job? How do you like your job?
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it's whether it's an appropriate response to a question. I mean, your employer always has the right to say, to talk about work and want to know what your work response is to something. But if you're ask a question at work about your workplace requirements and doing your job, you should always be respectful of that. But if you have a Bible study with other members of your place of employment, or if you all talk during lunch about your faith or what's happening at church, you have no problems there whatsoever. Again, great resources available at ACLJ.org. Just go to the On the Issues section.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right,
you know, I don't know if you know, Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas,
right? The Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know that.
You are googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're googled up.
I'm googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players. For those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl. And so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team, because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life. And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team you can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ, that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this. Mm. But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that. Mm-hmm. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, mm-hmm. And begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does, a set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved, just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And if you can find out more at iabide.org. .org. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. You will not believe the conversation that we were having during the break here. Can you believe that John thinks football's boring?
Out of his mind. Out of his mind.
Football has momentary opportunities to be exciting.
Are you serious?
Dude. But what happens is that you're full of, you know, referees calling flags every 5 minutes. You have, actually every 3 minutes, you have all these commercial breaks.
I mean, oh, you're talking about you watch it on TV. You actually go watch a game.
Well, you know, I don't now that I don't mind. I love watching like a high school game or something like that. That now that I can probably watch. But you know, I went to go see the Saints. I decided to go with my fellow brothers.
That's when they got stomped, right?
Yeah, I decided to suffer.
It was
like
that bloodshed moment.
I was shocked.
You don't go see the Saints to see them win now. We're not talking about, you know.
Listen, they're playing Tampa Bay. I was hoping Tampa Bay would, you know. I was greatly disappointed to see these grown men walking around in, well, we're not even going to talk about that.
Well, you said in break they're walking around in tights, Drew, by the way. Drew Brees, do you hear this?
Drew, call me later. We'll talk about it. It's just not exciting. It's just not exciting. Now, baseball, on the other hand.
Are you
baseball.
Serious? Are you, no, first of all, Elijah, baseball. I want to tell you something. Because you love baseball, if you're listening, I love you and I love baseball. I mean, you're my connection, man. I'm going to listen to you with that. But outside of that, I mean.
It's exciting.
I really tried. I mean, it's nine innings.
Nothing exciting about baseball.
I mean, it was like now. Actually, when Jared played, they would get out there and they had like one sock on and one leg and one sock off the other, and it had so much fun, you know. And I would, you know, say things that you would say from the bleachers, and that was fun. But they were a lot of fun when they were, you know, but. The professionals, I mean, they just kind of stand there, scratch, and mess with their hat.
spit.
It is a duel.
I don't even know why they water the grass. You know what I'm saying? It's like there should be like skull grass. Skull should grow in the field. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You never know. Maybe some fertilizer and that stuff.
I know one thing. You wouldn't want to slide in the second base.
No, not at all.
We're just joking. We were just shocked. Shocked that John did not like football. We were just shocked. We're
going to move on to baseball.
What's that?
Baseball.
You don't like baseball?
And I think that maybe, just maybe, maybe we can get Pat, you know, listen, it can't be fun rooting for a team that just doesn't win. I mean, it can't be fun. We need to get you to switch on the other side. That ain't even right. What's the producer doing over there?
Hooking you up, bro.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Did you, my goodness, in Indonesia, they are praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The church is coming together over there. This is a Muslim nation. Mm. A Muslim nation. It was so exciting. And they have a prayer tower that they have. I mean, you think of IHOP Kansas City, you know, Mike Bickle situation. In here in America, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is so beautiful to see that they have bunk beds and stuff. They pray for 4 hours, they get tired, they'll go back there you know, and get into a in a bed in Iraq and sleep for a while and then come back out and continue to pray. And I'm thinking, man, that is so, so very, very encouraging. And it's just like a breakout of God moving in Indonesia. And one thing about it, it's unity. You know, people are coming together and they are just seeking God and crying out and just asking God to move on behalf of the nation, you know, and they're having these plays, and I'm just, you know, I could see how God is going to move, you know, in Indonesia. And I'd love to see that again in America. Yeah, I'd love to see that. And I feel like in my heart that the third great awakening is on the verge of beginning to take place, and that's going to be one of the things that happens in that when, you know, we start focusing just like that. As a matter of fact, listen up. This is CBN News talking about what's taking place, this historic nonstop prayer sweep that's happening in a Muslim nation like Indonesia.
Come on now.
It was a scene never witnessed before in Indonesia's history.
I don't know another nation on earth like Indonesia where the church has become so passionate and united in prayer, but with each other.
Last year, more than 9,000 Christians from around the world met here for a massive prayer event, led by scores of Indonesian churches united to see the name of Jesus Christ lifted. Dr. Bambang Wijaya was a key architect of that event.
We can see the zeal not only among the evangelical or Pentecostal, but also in the mainline churches and the Catholic, that we need to spread the good news of Christ all over the country.
Global prayer leaders were amazed at the Indonesian believers' unity in praying for their country and the world.
The Father is looking out over the corridors of heaven, and he's saying, "Hey, Jesus, come here, look down at Indonesia. Hey, they're really loving each other. They're getting it. They're fulfilling your prayer. Hey, watch this." And he's going, and everything is just going to a new dimension, something we don't understand in the natural. There's favor, there's faith, there's grace, and they're transforming a nation.
A spiritual transformation that Christians here say is bathed in 24-hour prayer. 30 miles outside the sprawling capital city, Jakarta, sits this multi-story building that serves as a prayer tower for around-the-clock intercession.
What does it sound and look like? Come with me.
Wow. 24 hours a day, we're praying for churches in Indonesia, all the pastors and lay leaders. There's not a single hour or day that goes by without prayers lifted up for our country.
Jeffrey Petrus is caretaker of the prayer tower. For 12 years, this simple room with several bunk beds has been his home away from home.
We take shifts of 4 hours a day. When people get tired, they come in here, take a short rest on one of the bunk beds, then back to praying.
Didi Parwantu works with Petrus. He says the prayer rooms are packed with people at all hours of the day. Didi believes the prayers lifted from this place and other sites across Indonesia are shaking the spiritual foundations of his nation.
There is power when hundreds of thousands of believers meet in either small prayer groups, houses of prayer, or prayer towers like this one.
13% of the globe's Muslims live here in Indonesia, making the island nation home to the world's largest Muslim population. Located between the Indian and Pacific Oceans in Southeast Asia, Indonesia boasts a thriving economy and is one of the key political powerhouses in the region.
For years, we've been praying for our government, the media, and young people. We've also prayed for better relations between Christians and Muslims. God is answering those prayers.
And Christianity is growing despite the occasional reports of Muslim harassment. Christians credit the massive prayer movement that's connecting some 500 Indonesian cities with more than 5 million intercessors with giving them a deeper passion to see the nation and the world one for Jesus.
I do believe there is a power in prayer, especially in the united prayer, like the body of Christ, like this.
And in an unprecedented show of unity, Christians filled the country's national stadium last year, with millions more watching on television as they pledged to reach every village, town, and city in Indonesia with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All of the churches here in Indonesia believe that Jesus is the only answer for the country.
Back at the prayer tower, the intercession continues.
Day and night, weekends and holidays, we'll be here crying out to God for our country and the world. This is our calling, to be the watchman on the walls of Indonesia.
George Thomas, CBN News, Bogor, Indonesia.
It's so awesome. You see how big that tower was, and them praying, and the humility there. And there's two things he talked about a prayer focus. And quite often, people, we just start trying to do it. Mm-hmm. Versus pray and wait for God to move on everybody's heart to do it, was a better relationship with the church, the churches with each other, and a better relationship with the Muslim nation.
Mm-hmm.
This thing about, if you have not heard yet, and it's probably, if you're listening to this off of the VFN Torch, if you're not, you can go to the VFN Torch and listen to Who Does God Love?
Mm.
If you miss that, if you misunderstand who God loves, you're going to begin to divide yourself from the very people that God loves. I mean, how are you going to reach the people that God loves if you actually separate yourself from them?
Right.
Right.
You got to have a relationship. Israel always had a relationship with everything that was going on. You know, Jesus had a relationship with everyone. The only ones he didn't have a relationship with, the ones who chose not to have a relationship with, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, it was the religious folks, you know.
Mm.
And it's just so encouraging. I could sense even, you know, where, you know, thank God for what Mike Bickle's doing with International House of Prayer Kansas City, IHOP Kansas City, which you can see at ihop.org, and what God has been doing amongst us. But there's a new wind about to blow even over what we're doing. I truly see it. I feel it. It's been unfolding. And how it's going to unfold to the next level. And I encourage you to begin to, where you're at, you know, to begin to just ask God for a new wind over your prayer life. And believe it or not, the best prayer that God would love to hear is anything but me, my, I. Right?
Yeah.
Dear God, it's me. And I was thinking, my car, my house, my job, my money, my health, my stuff, things, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, you know what, God? Would you bless this nation? God, would you unite your church? Would you rebuild the walls with burnt stones? God, would you move again? Would you move on the hearts of your church? Would you bring us back to a place of repentance and humility? God, would you forgive me for my sins so that I, like David said, can teach other people your way, not just so I can actually get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me with the hyssop so that when you restore me, I can go teach other people your way. There was a whole process, and his motives were, you know, I need to be able to be positioned by the grace and the mercy of God to let people know about him.
Yeah. You know, what was interesting about this segment too is the fact that the church was able to be united in prayer.
Yeah.
And what a great way to be able to look at that, where the body of Christ can come together. We are so much better together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Jesus prayed, John 17, right, that we be one. And what an awesome opportunity just to come together and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And there's power there. Prayer changes things.
And not unity for unity's sake, because obviously if David would have unified with Saul, we wouldn't have a David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we wouldn't have a Saul. They'd both been gone. If Jesus would have unified with the Pharisees, which eventually he allowed them to be in his presence, they crucified him.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about, like, in Pensacola, you have the Pensacola House of Prayer with Arnie McCall and what God had laid on his heart, and how diversity is happening in that prayer ministry there. And he's just laboring, and they have 7 days a week. They have, you know, worship and prayer happening there, and it just takes those kind of labors to be able to do something like that. And We've been laboring for years, you know, wanting to walk that out in view of God's mercy and because of his grace. And what it is this. It's like somebody says, we need to pray. And I'm supposed to go to a break. But listen, we just need to pray more. The thing about it is like, if prayer is having a conversation with God, the question is, who we've been talking to?
Mm.
If all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's talk to God again. I think we need to talk to God again, right, and listen to him. And it's like, what we're really saying, let's get in relationship to God,
right,
again. Let's tap into his heart, what you do in a close relationship, and begin to walk out his will here on earth.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you. Because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, being from Detroit, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on, you know, from New Jersey or, you know, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. They got
hockey.
Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, like, hockey rules. They got an app on, like, how to make ice. They got an app about, you know, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow. Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
Really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now, yeah. Talk to me. That's the app I want.
Yeah, tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey got to check this out. Go on iTunes, go on your Android, and type in VFNTV. And you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now, the daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFN TV with you on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com. You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour. There's that break. You go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring. During that intro, when it's coming down, all of our VFN Radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. Yeah, you can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or in the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central. The Weekend Marathon.
Yeah. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about, you know, what's happening in Indonesia. I want to encourage you to stay tuned for the extra hour, because we're going to continue our conversation about faith, about faith, and about complete faith. Think about it, complete faith, which means you can have incomplete faith, you can have dead faith, you can have faith that's almost dead, you can have actually what was James talks about, faith equivalent to demonic faith, what demons would have. Think about that. And it's like, I didn't realize there were so many different, I need to find it, make sure I have the right faith. You know, you can have faith in a business. You can have faith in a nation. You can have faith in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just, you can believe something with nothing behind it. I mean, you need to hear this. It's going to be amazing, because at the end, the only thing that's going to count is complete faith, whole faith, true faith. Faith that comes from God and believes God. So make sure, stay tuned. We're continuing our conversation about faith. So many good things that we've been discussed at this point.
You know, we've been sharing a lot about what God's been doing and how God's responding to all the prayers that have been prayed up. We've been praying this powerful prayer. We are sharing on it. Mm-hmm. You know, dear God, end abortion and send revival. And I don't know if you saw this, but I thought this was so cool. A congresswoman who was pregnant, they told her that her baby was going to have some serious issues. I believe she was diagnosed with, they called Potter's syndrome. And it's basically, she had this ultrasound and that the baby's going to have some serious medical conditions, and that something abnormally low amniotic fluid, and it's something that
that's the fluid the baby's actually suspended in inside the womb.
Oh wow. Well, it caused her kidneys to have some major, and her lungs to have, you know, some really serious problems. That said, listen, this, we want you to know this is going to happen to your baby. She's going to have some serious issues.
All right.
So she prayed, got a second opinion, asked others to pray, and she said she refused to have an abortion. It was suggested that she have an abortion.
Right.
And she refused to have one.
Wow.
She refused to have one. She says, we're going to have this baby. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to basically trust God. Well, wouldn't you know, they gave birth to a beautiful baby by the name of Abigail.
Oh, wow.
And it's, Abigail. I mean, beautiful. Wow. Beautiful,
one
beautiful.
One of David's wife's names.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And she is said to be the first baby to survive a diagnosis that was, with this diagnosis, you know, considered to be fatal. Mm-hmm. And how amazing is that? And we see from time to time, and we saw what happened. You know, we have a segment entitled, you know, who, what do these folks have in common? We'll make that a related segment for you. But you have Jesse Jackson, you have Justin Bieber, Tim Tebow, and Celine Dion, that all of their mothers were told that, listen, you know, you need to abort this child because they're going to have medical issues. They could be fatal to you, fatal to the baby. You need to do this. And all of their mothers said, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to have this child. And I thank God for those, you know, brave women that said, listen, we're just going to trust God, you know. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor in New Jersey. Doctors told her the same thing, and that her child was going to be born with some serious medical conditions. She's missing, I believe, a chromosome, if I understand it correctly. And she said her stance was this, that we're just going to trust God, and if God wants me to have a baby with any kind of medical conditions, if that's the case, then God wants me to give her some extra love and to be there for her. That's, you know, I'm more than happy to do that. And sure enough, this beautiful, beautiful little girl was born. You know, she's healthy. She does have some minor, you know, health issues, but she's a beautiful little girl. She played with my little girl for months. And it's just so beautiful. But she said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that.
Life is so fragile. Mm. I mean, every mother that decided to carry that child.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a faithful, awesome decision.
Isn't,
you know,
it?
Everybody that's here today, their mother decided, and God, you know, was with that whole situation to assure that you're here.
Yeah.
That you're here.
And think about it, you know, giving birth to children and raising children is probably the most unselfish thing you could ever do in your life, at least definitely one of them, and high up. And just to think that you preferred their child more than you preferred yourself and your convenience. Listen, this is what it's all about.
And if you don't, you will eventually have to.
Yeah.
Before you right.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, we want to give it up to Jamie Herrera,
yes.
Congresswoman from Washington, and all those wonderful, brave women who just said, listen, we're just going to trust God, and we're going to have this baby, and we're going to love this baby, and no matter what happens.
That's so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Did you hear about Jace and Missy on Duck Dynasty? The guys at Duck Dynasty?
Jace?
Yeah, Jace and his wife, I believe her name is Missy, that they were doing an interview, and in their interview, they were being confronted by saying, you know, money's nothing, you know, because obviously they got a lot of money now.
Right, right.
And he's like, oh, you don't even understand. And he begins to explain it. We got that interview. You've got to hear this. This is Jace and his wife, Missy. Now, Jace is the, if you've never seen this program that kind of captures the life of these guys who make duck calls and did. And obviously, it's a big industry right now, but it's a family, and it's a Christian family. And somebody came and asked them to be able to do a reality show, which is them and their lives.
Right.
And they said, well, first was no. Secondly, if this works, it's got to be God. And thirdly is we're going to talk about God through the whole thing. So if you're going to do it, it has to be God. And it all happened. It came to pass. And these bearded, camouflaged, and they were really intelligent people, by the way, with degrees in teaching and business and
all
that.
Don't be fooled.
Yeah, but this is Jace. Jace is the one, if you've seen it, he's the one that gives his brother, he's the cynic in the crew. You know, he's pretty logical. He's a lot like his dad.
Yeah.
You know, definitely a lot like his dad. But he's not the CEO. He tried that once, I remember.
That didn't work.
But this is Jace explaining it here with his wife, and they're asking the question. Listen up. Duck Dynasty.
The reason I said fame and fortune was frivolous to me is because we were raised really poor. I mean, my brothers, we had one bed, one room, but nobody told us we were poor, and you know, I was just as happy. We were in the outdoors. Every day was an adventure to me. And the reason is because we love, you know, who we're with our family, loved them. And that's really the reason we love to hunt. It's not so much about what we get to eat or, you know, how many ducks we shoot. It's about who we're with. And so if you're happy in that situation and you realize what true happiness is, which to me is God, people, and then whatever else, number three, with me it's ducks, I realize, you know, what are you going to buy? You can't buy that. I was just as happy when we had nothing. So,
when we were teenagers, I noticed that about their family. My parents, my dad's a preacher and my mom was a school teacher at a Christian school, so we didn't have hardly anything either. And so what attracted us to each other was what we saw in each other in our faith. And we dated very young, got married very young, and that's basically been our own motto. We've been very happy for 22 years before the money started coming in. So we have our core values as a family, and we've kept them, and that's our number one priority is making sure that our kids know that, so they also will have the same values, no matter what circumstances come your way. If God is your solid foundation, good or bad, you're going to be happy. You're going to be joyous if you're in Him, and that's what we stand on.
Well, to prove her point that it was a godly thing, you know, we were both virgins when we got married until our wedding night, and we decided to do it God's way, and we basically had a godly agreement that we would help each other get to heaven. And so, I mean, a lot of people just think that that's unreasonable or preposterous. I'm like, no, God's way. Yeah, that's strange. I'm like, you know, if everybody chose to do it God's way, the world would be a lot better off. You think about all the guilt.
And what an influence that we can have on our children because of that testimony. Our oldest son, Reed, has been dating a great girl for over a year and a half, and they also have the same commitment. So it's just such a wonderful, joyous time for as a parent to be able to see that and the commitment that they have as children and wanting to do that also.
But it's a great testimony because we're like, look, we do this not because we're representing some organization. We do it because we trust in God and we believe His way is the better way in all things in life. So that's why when you ask me about the fame and fortune, I'm like, I'm going to use whatever God blesses me with as a platform to tell the world, look, God is for you. He proved it through sending Jesus down here to die for us and be resurrected. And for us, that gives us second chances and it gives us hope. And so we spread that message everywhere. We say, look, if God can use us, he can use anybody. So that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast. We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.